As ever, it is good and a privilege to be back in this pulpit this morning in what has become a very pleasant part of my summer holidays. I led a service in Muskoka last week and wore shorts, and so today I said, why not? And the opportunity to work with colleagues and friends, including Eric and Rhiannon and Kim and Tom. Wonderful to have him at the organ. Since Donald Trump was elected President of the United States last fall, I've been wearing a simple safety pin, and I confess I forgot to put it on my shirt this morning, but I did bring some extras. I put it on my suit coats and my cardigans at the hospital, whatever shirt I'm wearing, and I've had more than a few people say, "Excuse me, did you lose a name tag?" And then I tell them about the university professors in the United States that I'm aware of who started something called the Safety Pin Project. And they wear safety pins to remind their diverse student community, and this is a quote from the project, "Unlike in Donald Trump's America, you're safe with me." Unlike in Donald Trump's America, you're safe with me. Safe from his erratic and unacceptable behavior, safe from his misogynistic, dishonest, racist, homophobic, and anti-Islamic rants, let alone some of his policies. He is a child of God, we'll come back to that, but those things are all true about what he has been saying. His daily pronouncements on Twitter remind me of that scene from The Wizard of Oz. You know the one where the four friends come back from the mountain? I'm speaking of Dorothy and Toto. There are five of them, I guess. Dorothy and her friends, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. And they're holding the broom that belonged to the Wicked Witch of the West. They've done the wizard's bidding to bring it back. Of course, they could turn her in with a bucket of water as if things were that easy. But back they come, and they enter into that great and glorious palace at Oz, and there's a great green screen, you know, the puffs of smoke and the great picture of the wizard's face, and he's hollering at them. And Dorothy says, "But we've done what you ask, and we've come to get our wishes fulfilled. I just want to go home," she says. And the Scarecrow says, "I just want a brain." And the Tin Man, "I just want a heart." And the Cowardly Lion says, "I just want courage." "Come back tomorrow," says the great and glorious Oz. Well, Toto's having none of this. He realizes that there are a pair of brown shoes under that green curtain at the side and goes over and pulls back the curtain to reveal a very average-looking man hollering into a microphone and a camera. And he turns around to the wrath of Dorothy. And she says, "You, sir, are a very bad man." And the very mortal wizard stammers and says, "Well, actually, I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard." And then he helps them to realize that the gifts they seek, they have within themselves. Dorothy will get home again. There is no place like home. And the Scarecrow has the brains he didn't think he had, and the Tin Man has a heart after all, and the Cowardly Lion is actually very courageous in his own way, and we have ourselves a happy ending. Well, not so much for the United States, or for the whole world, at least so far. Because the president elected last fall has proven himself, in my estimation, to be a very bad man and a very bad president. I call him the Wizard of Oz. Well, this remains a sermon rather than a political critique. I think our gospel lesson this morning can be very instructive in these disconcerting times. So we're a little out of the liturgical calendar, but Transfiguration can speak to us about these friends who go up on a mountain on a retreat. And Jesus is transfigured before them, a dazzling white. One translation says, no one on earth could bleach it like that. He's with Peter, who would later even deny knowing Jesus. Peter, whose name is Petra, the rock on which I'll build my church. And then there are the fisher folk, James and John. My brothers and I are namesakes. Mom said it was so she didn't have to change the name tags on our clothing. Jay Lougheed, very straightforward. Zebedee and his wife are their parents, and Zebedee means thunder, so they were sometimes known as the sons of thunder. But not that afternoon, they were actually terrified up on top of the mountain. Well, Peter, ever the leader but doesn't quite get it, as Moses and Elijah appear, has this idea, this is fantastic, we should build three houses up here and stay forever. Then, and another suddenly, as the story goes, a great cloud comes over the mountain, and a voice they last heard at the baptism of Jesus says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And one more suddenly, Moses and Elijah are gone, and there's divine Jesus to guide his friends back down the mountain. They were terrified. They now feel very safe with him, but he says something very strange. He says, "Wait until I'm raised from the dead to tell anybody about what just happened." He's already predicting his death, this man of only 33 years, as if he will be risen again in them, among them, in the church. Well, this is a fantastic story. Not in the sense that it's a fantasy like The Wizard of Oz, but so much in the truth, which is also like the wizard, the truth that it points to in our troubling times. I don't know about you, but when you're at a keyboard, is there a word that you often misspell? Well, for me, it's always the word united. It always comes out as untied. So I'm a minister of the Untied Church of Canada. It does feel like a bit of a prophetic typo sometimes, and even more so for the untied United States these days, untied from the mooring of its values, it seems. Yet, I have rarely been prouder to be a member of the United Church of Canada than in the last several months when our moderator, the Right Reverend Jordan Cantwell, wrote a YouTube piece called "I Love Donald Trump." It's worth looking up. It's just a couple of minutes. I thought we could have projected it this morning, but I didn't think to ask. She goes on to say, "I love Donald Trump," without tolerating his unacceptable words and actions and the opportunity he gives me to resist hatred with love. She continues, the moderator, "We need not allow his fear of difference," which is really what a lot of this is about. "Rather, we can practice the discipline of loving our enemies." The moderator is acknowledging him as an enemy of values, not in itself an evil person, but an enemy of the values we hold dear as followers of Jesus, and we can be called to follow Jesus, not Trump. In that sense, wearing a safety pin is a subtle defiance, a pastoral invitation that I confess I'm coming to love Donald Trump too, because he reminds me of just about everything I don't believe in. He reminds me of the world that I want to work for, not the one he's working for, to build a kingdom of peace with justice that Jesus came to proclaim. Even just yesterday in the New York Times, if you happen to get that wonderful editorial page as part of your Toronto Star, I commend it to you. There's a column that says, we need to stand up. We need to stop just letting this go on and be said as if it's not serious, because it is. And the moderator calls that a discipline of love, journeying up and down the mountain with Jesus as she understands it. I know for me, watching the elections in the States, and I do love politics, I found one of the most compelling voices was that of Michelle Obama, particularly her injunction, "When they go low, we go high." It was as if she was anticipating the story of the Transfiguration. And how painful it must be now for the Obamas to watch the Wizard of Oz dismantling most of their life's work, at least in recent years. It is as if a contemporary prophet, whose name was Richard Rorty, he wrote this back in 1998, as it was captured in the New Yorker magazine last fall, soon after the election. But he wrote this some 18 years earlier. He said, "The non-suburban electorate in the United States will decide that the system has failed and start looking around for a strong man to vote for. Someone who is willing to assure them that once elected, the smug bureaucrats, the tricky lawyers, the overpaid bond salesmen, the postmodernist professors will no longer be calling the shots. And one thing is very likely to happen, and that is that the gains made in the past 40 years by black and brown Americans, by the LGBT community, and others will be wiped out. That the jocular contempt for women will come back in fashion. That all the resentment that badly educated Americans feel about having their manners dictated to them by college graduates will find an outlet." Unquote. And apparently his name is Donald Trump. But, and thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. As surely as prophecy has seemingly come true, the Transfiguration reminds us that liminal moments cannot be captured by building houses on mountaintops as if it's always going to be that way. It's the true prophets, and it's the compassion of those who follow them that prevail. We can't be smug in Canada, not at all. The Islamophobia that is coming up against us in North America and around the world, it was only in the winter in Quebec City that somebody could walk into a mosque and shoot six people at prayer. But in what has been called the homily, and I think it's very significant, the choice of words, of Canada's Prime Minister the very next day in the House of Commons, as if he was quoting Michelle Obama, he invited us to go high. He said, we will meet fear and hatred with love and compassion always. That's gospel. And to quote from a very good man and a very good president in his valedictory address in Chicago in the days just before the inauguration of Donald Trump, President Barack Obama reminded us all, as if in the tradition of several world religions, including ours, and I quote, hope, my friends, is not blind optimism. It's not ignoring the enormity of the task ahead or the roadblocks that stand in our path. It's not sitting on the sidelines or shirking from a fight. Hope is that thing inside us that insists, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us if we have the courage to reach for it, to work for it, to fight for it. Unquote. For us, perhaps it begins with putting a safety pin over our hearts and living out our commitment to follow Jesus down the mountain and out into the world, wearing a safety pin.